This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, try to forgive language for the word webinar. Coming up in today's show is something that is kind of like a wishing well, but for insults. This episode contains one Category A and one Category B swear. Right, on with the show. Somebody has really ticked you off. You're all steamed up inside and you want to vent that rage using words, but you don't want to confront the person directly because you're either too polite or too cowardly. So, do you A, subtweet them, B, with your finger, scrawl an insulting message into the dirt on their car, or C, get a small sheet of lead, scratch into it a message cursing your enemy, roll it up, and throw it into your nearest sacred spring? Oh, I forgot to mention, it's 1700 to 2000 years ago, and you're living in the ancient Roman Empire, so the answer is C, a lead curse tablet.
If we look in this case to the right, we can see half a dozen curse tablets here. And above the case, there's a reference to something called UNESCO Memory of the World, which is one of UNESCO's schemes for recognising intangible cultural heritage. So it's not a monument. Actually, it's all to do with ideas and concepts, things like music and poetry and the things that go on in our heads. And the curses were added to the UNESCO register in 2014.
I think it's good to have a record of human bitterness and anger.
Yes.
Stephen Clues is the manager of the Roman Baths at Bath in southwest England, from which 130 ancient curse tablets have so far been fished out, dating from a 200 to 300 year period around 2000 to 1700 years ago. Curse tablets, called defixiones in Latin, are quite common artefacts. Around 2000 of them have been found in sites across the former Roman Empire, 300 in Britain alone. At Bath, there's a lot of sludge at the bottom of the sacred spring that hasn't been dredged through yet, so the waters could well still contain further curses. Also, possibly more curses were written on materials that were not as durable as lead, so they've disintegrated into the once sacred hot spring waters that swirl away like a big vat of cursed soup.
Well, standing here on a balcony overlooking the spring, we can see it bubbling below us.
Rather beautiful green colour.
It is, yes. And they're actually found about probably, I'd say, about 6 metres from the end of my arm, going straight down, because we're looking down on this from really quite a great height.
The baths are a warren of pools and structures built above and below the present-day ground level. It's a many-layered place. There's been human activity at the site for thousands of years. There's evidence of Iron Age tribes there. The Celts built a shrine to the goddess Sulis a couple of thousand years ago. Then the Romans invaded and built a grand temple and a bathing complex. And then, on top of these, there have been many modifications and additions since. 12th and 16th century bathing facilities, an 18th century pump room, the 19th century museum and concert hall. Layers of construction piling up above the spring, previous incarnations obscured and forgotten, and beneath all of it, under the water, the curse tablets. They lurked in the bottom of the Bath baths for more than 1,500 years. Then, in the 1880s, one Major Charles Davis was doing some maintenance.
He was the city architect and engineer, and there was a problem with people in nearby houses complaining that water had penetrated their basements. Hot water, so logically enough, he assumed it came from the spring. And so amongst all the various operations he did, he broke down through the floor of the medieval bath to see what was going on. And he found beneath it the Roman chamber that had been built to encase the spring.
While trying to patch up the leaks in the chamber, Major Davis trawled through some of the deposits at the bottom of the waters.
In doing this, he recovered two lead curses. And he wasn't sure what to make of them.
So he sent them off to Germany, where the finest philologists set to translating the two curse tablets. One of them they managed to crack, partially. It was complaining of a theft of something called vilbia, a Latin word they didn't know, so it might be a woman's name. The other they could not understand at all. That curse tablet perplexed translators for 100 years. Then, in the 1980s, a further 128 tablets were excavated from the baths, and at Oxford University, paleographer Roger Tomlin worked on translating them, including that pesky curse tablet from the first hall.
At which point, he realised that people had been trying to read it upside down. And having turned it the right way round, it then read like a conventional curse. But that, of course, is telling you how difficult it is to discern the lettering and so on.
Yes, to be fair, it's really difficult to read a curse tablet. First of all, the handwriting is not winning the Tidiness Prize at any calligraphy contests, and it's scratched into dark lead, so you need to shine a strong light across the tablet to see the writing at all. Many of the cursed tablets were rolled up, and after so long being buffeted around in the spring, some of them are too fragile for archaeologists to unroll to see what's written on them. And not many of the ones they have unrolled are complete.
So this little cursed tablet we're looking at, that looks like a sort of black cabbage leaf.
Yes, it does. It illustrates well the fact that they're fragmentary. There are very few of the curses that are whole and complete. Many of them are quite damaged.
Some of the tablets are mere fragments with just a few words or letters, and philologists have had to make educated guesses at the full curses.
So to understand it, you have to take all the curses, which all have bits of fragmentary text, and then you realise that some of these phrases repeat. And so you can, by playing a kind of complex join the dots, you can get the sense of what many of the curses are about.
There is a bit of a format for the curses. It addresses the curse victim, name unknown. It outlines the complaint, then suggests a divine punishment for their crime. For example, that upside-down tablet that took a century to translate.
And the translation is, whether boy or girl, whether man or woman, whoever has stolen it is not to be permitted. Then some broken text, unless any innocence. You are not to grant him nor sleep, unless that a bushel of cloud, a bushel of smoke may come.
So it's very eloquent sort of cursing.
It is, yes. It's very sort of poetic in style. This was clearly the way in which one should address a deity.
I suppose I hadn't thought of that, because I thought of people writing curses in anger, but not the fact that they had to be respectful to a deity whilst doing so.
Yes, I think that was the case.
And the reason for most of these curses found at Bath? Theft. Most commonly theft of money, blankets, tools, clothes, lots of clothes.
Well, bathing tunics were particularly popular as items for theft. We've got references to 3 bathing tunics having been stolen. Also a number of other cloaks. Docimedes had his gloves stolen. He asked that the person who had stolen them should, apart from returning the said gloves, also lose both his mind and his eyes.
That is, I think, disproportionate.
Well, it is in terms of modern thinking. But of course, you know, you have to put your mind into a different mindset. One lady who had had a bronze bowl stolen seeks its restoration and asks that it be filled with the blood of the person who has stolen it. So, you know, that's the way life was.
A hard life, but one that was at least enlivened by the opportunity to come up with inventive and lurid punishments for your enemies. There was one curse tablet found in Cyprus in 2008 that was inscribed, "May your penis hurt when you have sex." Don't know what crime that was in response to, but it's a compelling punishment for all sorts of offences. And at the time, there wasn't a police force, so I get why people channeled their desires for justice into these furious pleas to the gods. But why would you throw your curse tablet into a bath?
Well, of course, this wasn't a bath, it was a spring. It still is a hot spring. So it's an unusual place. And the phenomenon of hot water coming out of the ground was something that in Roman, or indeed pre-Roman times, was something for which no one had any natural explanation. So if you have something happening for which there is no natural explanation, then the explanation's obvious. it must be the work of the gods. So therefore, if this is the work of the gods, it's a place where you might find the gods. And so it might be a place where you could communicate with them. Far better here than in the middle of a ploughed field or perhaps at home in your backyard. People came to these special places as pilgrims to worship the presumed deities of these locations.
And it was common to many cultures across the ancient world, that notion of water being sacred and therefore a fast track to contact your deities. People threw lots of different objects into sacred waters, buttons and clothing, weapons, models of body parts that they wanted cured of ailments, or gifts like money or gold hair ornaments or engraved plates to thank the deities for curing the aforementioned ailments or performing other such favours. The idea still has a hold on people in the present day, judging by how many coins are thrown into water features at shopping malls. So I thought I'd test our modern day capacity for cursing our enemies. At the Illusionist live show at the London Podcast Festival a few weeks ago, I asked the audience to write their own curses, then follow procedure by rolling them up and throwing them into a bucket. Sorry, that was all I could get on my allotted budget for water features. Instead of deities to read the curses, I had the next best thing, my fellow Radiotopians Lauren Sporer and Phoebe Judge of Criminal, and Benjamin Walker of Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything.
I have a very nice curse here from Dennis. No, it's a curse upon Dennis, upon Dennis. Sorry, Dennis.
It's important to get that straight, isn't it?
For the offense of they know what.
How can you be so coy? That is unfair on everybody in this room, and you know it.
It says, may their mouth be burned by pizza and their content buffer forever.
This was upon David for dumping me by text.
Aww.
And saying that my writing is basic.
Ooh.
May their tweed be eaten by moths and their social skills become increasingly awkward.
I wish to visit curse upon the guy ahead of me on the plane for the offense of reclining too far.
Oh.
May their shoulders and neck be forever not able to rest on a supportive surface, and their knees feel vaguely compressed.
Mm. This one about Costco. You have Costco in the UK?
We have Costco.
Treating me like a criminal for not having a membership. May your long-lost son turn up in the shop for a reunion, and then, as he's not a member, obviously, furiously be turned away, never to be seen again. And their hearts be forever broken.
I wish to visit a curse upon Christian L. for writing that letter. May their writing hand be unable to write anything but dirty limericks. I think that would be a pretty good skill. And their head filled by the overlapping choruses of 90s pop.
Those could go together. You could have songs of dirty limericks to those tunes, and just then the person becomes a millionaire.
What's that one in highlighter?
That's for Karen, who has the offense of being a bully.
Ooh.
And this person wants Karen's weird hair to catch fire and burn with the intensity of the sun every time she lies. And for her to die alone, miserable, unloved, riddled with nasty skin conditions. But yeah, all right, highlighter. There we go. Woo, you don't fuck around.
This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman, with Martin Austwick, who also makes the music for this show. Thanks to Stephen Clues and Hannah Tunstall from the Roman Baths and Pump Room in Bath. You should absolutely visit. It's a fascinating place. And Julia Farley, Sean Toogood and Nick Harris from the British Museum. You also heard Lauren Sporer and Phoebe Judge from Criminal and Benjamin Walker from Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is trudgeon. Noun. A swimming stroke like the crawl with a scissor movement of the legs. 19th century, named after English swimmer John Trudgeon. Ding, 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 we've got an eponym. Try using it in an email today. You can find the show on Twitter and Facebook. Illusionist Show is the handle. Don't send me curses. And you can see pictures of the sacred spring at Bath and some of the curse tablets found in it at theallusionist.org.
Thank you.